The first round of the triple header took place last weekend, and it provided some great racing, historic moments, and of course, penalties. And there's no time for a break because we are back racing in Austria this weekend for Formula 2 and Formula 3. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia. Joining me, as always, is the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
Oh, yes, busy as always.
Yeah, and that's not even talking about what went on in the racing and what's going on in
Oh.
the racing world. Lots to cover in this episode. So definitely going to try to keep it within the time limits, and so we don't get a 5 second time penalty for track limits, for time limits almost. But today we will be reviewing the Formula 2, Formula 3, and F1 Academy racing that took place in Barcelona, and also previewing the Formula 2 and Formula 3 racing in Austria this weekend. But before we get into this episode, we got to thank our sponsor, which is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of the 150 slot games available to play. Head to the website today to get in on all the action, and make sure you use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And again, make sure you're following us on all social media channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show and our sister show, Grid Talk, which covers everything F1 related. Right, so let's start with Formula 2. Paul Aaron was able to take the pole position with Kushmany on reverse. In the sprint race, it was damage limitations off of the bad start off the line for Kushmany. He was able to finish on the podium. Unfortunately, it was P2, taking the top step for his first win of the 2024 season and only his second win in Formula 2, Victor Martins. And joining them on the podium originally, returning back after his last podium for 5 years ago, Juan Manuel Correa. However, it is not an F2 race without penalties. Track limits was crucial in both of the F2 races, which resulted in Juan Manuel receiving a penalty and dropping down to P8. Paul Aaron was able to take the third step on the podium and was able to continue his podium on each round streak. In the feature race, Jack Crawford was able to take the top step, joining him, Franco Colapinto, and back again and staying this time, Juan Manuel Correa making a crucial dams double podium. For the feature race as well, it was exactly to the day of June 23rd, 2019, since JM actually stood on the podium alongside the late Antoine Hubert. And sitting in the press conferences and hearing the emotions, I was able to actually ask a question in the sprint race about what motivates him. And one of the key things is that he thinks how lucky and fortunate he is, and he thinks about him almost every day, especially when it comes to racing. And given the journey he has had over the years, definitely was a great w race weekend for him. I mean, Tom, what was your take on that weekend? It was emotional for me. I almost cried when I saw him on the podium.
Yeah, it was really emotional to see Correa on the podium because, like you said, everything that happened 5 years ago, obviously, obviously with that fatal crash with Hubert, and then obviously with it being 5 years to the day, like you said, since he stood on the podium, I believe it was at Circuit Paul Ricard in France as well, which obviously Hubert was French. It's it was that was very, very sort of emotional, for Correa, for his family, for the team. But for the sport of F2 in general, so I was happy to see him on the podium, really happy to see him on the podium, and you could hear it, sort of in his voice when he was on his cool down lap. And then as for the rest of the weekend, I think we all sort of slept on Paul Aaron a bit at the start of the season, because I didn't think he'd be leading the championship at any point, let alone now. I was I do actually remember watching the sprint race now that I sort of honestly, I'm not even joking. When you started talking about it, I went, "Oh yeah, Victor Martins won, didn't he?" Because I remember texting you and saying, "Just by luck that Victor Martins won," after I stopped predicting him for a win or anything. And yeah, but Behrmann had a bit of a stinker, sadly. He was I don't know if he had an issue or what, but he fell to the back of the pack. He dropped like a stone in the sprint race. And I think it was Alex Brundle said he does better in the Haas car than he does in the F2 car, which is somewhat ironic.
I mean, he's qualified P12 in F1, but currently P16 in the standings.
I know it's it wasn't a great weekend for him, and you know we talk about damage limitation. I think damage limitation of the weekend has to go to Kimi Antonelli for stalling on the grid, starting from the pit lane and then finishing. I think it was P4, I want to say. And I'm fairly certain he had a spin or something somewhere as well, or he went off into the gravel. So, you know, so F2, it didn't disappoint. And bearing in mind, for the feature race on the Sunday, I only got to see bits of it because my dad got back from France. So I was sitting downstairs watching it with a morning coffee, and then all of a sudden, you know, the circus arrives back home with suitcases and, you know, bags of, you know, French shopping and all the rest of it. So, you know, and a new rug as well. How they managed to fit that in Dad's 8 Series, I'll never know, but there we go. I was only able to see bits of it, but, you know, again, you know, it was good to see Jack Crawford win. At one point, you know, with Correa there, we had two American flags technically on the podium. Who was driving P4 and 5? They were teammates and they drove into each other. My mind has just gone completely blank.
Gabriel Bortoleto and Chris Chimani for Invicta Racing.
That was it. That's it.
For third.
Yeah, that was it. I could picture the cars, especially because Bortoleto has the big McLaren on his rear wings. I was using McLaren Junior driver. Yeah, seeing those two go into turn one on the last lap and then just Bortoleto tried it. He tried to hang it around the outside and just there wasn't room. And then just, you know, it's the number one rule, isn't it? You don't crash into your teammate. And unfortunately, he did that. So yeah, F2, yeah. I say you always deliver. You know, it didn't disappoint once again.
For sure. I mean, like sitting in the press conference, obviously Team Mortis was in discussion as well because obviously we had double damps podium, for the feature race. But absolutely crazy just hearing some of the bits and pieces of it as well. But I mean, Paul Aaron one of the funniest things as well, he was dropped by Mercedes end of last year to focus on Kimi. That was literally one of the main reasons why he was offered the Driver Academy for Mercedes. He is now leading the championship. He has done very well in Formula E. He's done rookie tests in Formula E. He's driven 2 rounds in Berlin for Formula E. So absolutely killing it so far. But moving on to this weekend, we are racing in Austria, and it's one of the original tracks of the calendar, with the track record still being held by Charles Leclerc, which was set in 2017 with a time of 1:13.396. The sprint race will be 28 laps, with the feature race being 40 laps. Last year, Victor Martins was able to take pole with Jack Crawford on reverse. In the sprint race, Jack Crawford was able to top the podium timings with Victor P2 and Isaac Hajar in P3. In the feature race, it was Richard Vasseur, followed by Owasa and Vesti on the podium. Now, last year as well, track limits and penalties were still light. We had 3 different drivers with 3 grid drops. We had 2 for the sprint race, 1 for the feature. We had a few 20-second time penalties before seeing drivers off the track. And a disqualification, which was Clément Novoloc in the MP Motorsport due to tire pressure. But the feature race was clean. So I don't know how it was very different for the sprint for the short amount of laps racing, but... And again, not full points as well. You want to focus obviously more on the feature. Currently, though, in Formula 2, Paul Aaron, as mentioned, leads the championship with 100 points now, followed by Isaac Hajar closely behind with 91 points, and the previous championship leader of Zane Maloney behind with 75 points. Now, Tom, it's Formula 2. It's slightly more easier to make your predictions. What is your bold pole and podiums for Austria this weekend?
I knew you were going to say that.
It's a feature in every podcast. How are you not prepared?
Because I'm tired. No. My bold prediction is going to be... Yeah, I'm going to say less than half of the field gets track limits. So more than half of the field doesn't get a black and white flag or worse for track limits. I'm not including warnings in that. So this is quite precise, I know, but I'm going to say that 50% or more, so if it is exactly a number of half the cars on the grid, do get a black and white flag or more for track limits. I win. that's going to cost me. So 50% or more of the cars on circuit will not get a black and white flag or time, you know, or and time penalties for track limits. As for who I think is going to win, and well, you know, my podiums. I mean, after Victor Martins won, I've got to say Victor Martins, haven't I? No, I'm joking. I think that might have been a little bit of a sort of flash in the pan, sadly. For the sprint race, I'm going to back Franco Colapinto. I'm going to back him for the win because he was looking decent in Spain. You know, he'll have, you know, he's raced here in F3 and Junior Series, so I'm going to back him. And then I'm going to say Jack Crawford, P2, and I'm going to go a bit left field. I'm going to say Rio Miata, P3, because we didn't talk about it much, but he had a really good weekend in Barcelona. And then for the feature race, I'm going to say Paul Aaron on pole. I'm going to say Paul Aaron to win. I'm going to say Zach O'Sullivan, P2. And Zane Maloney, P3.
Okay. Can be quite interesting. I mean, this is kind of a make or break as well. You get to hear it in commentary quite a lot. Like, if they do well in the first round of the triple header, again, this is European circuits. These are the tracks that the drivers do know, like the back of their hand. So definitely will be a quite interesting one to see how these drivers handle the pressures of the circuits. My prediction, my bold, is I think it will be no retirements in either the race whatsoever. Nope, there will be no retirements, whether that is by accident, by electrical, mechanical fault, whatsoever. There will be zero retirements. My sprint podium would be Gabriel Bartoletto, Enzo Fittipaldi, and why not? But Ollie Bearman, P3. I'm going very left field on these ones. And to be fair, you kind of need to nowadays. Like, we know some of these drivers are very consistent, but it might change. For the feature race, I think Chris Meine will take pole and will take the pole. I think Paul Aaron will still take P2 to continue his podium per round weekend streak. And rounding out the podium will be Dennis Hauger as well. He had not the best race weekend in Barcelona with a few hits. And actually, this was one of his few rounds where he didn't score any points of the race weekend. But he's currently P5 in the standings. But yeah, that is my F2 predictions for Austria. Now, moving on to Formula 3, because there's a lot to cover. In Barcelona, Christian Mansell was able to take pole with Santiago Ramos on the reverse pole. In the sprint race, it was looking to be a trident 1-2 with Ramos and Metinov coming together on lap 3, another driver-teammate collision, ending their chance. And it allowed the hometown hero of Mary Boyer for the home race with Campos to take the lead and run with it and win. This as well is the third Spanish driver to win and for Campos in the Barcelona race weekends as well. They have had a Spanish driver for Campos win at least one race every single weekend for the last 3 years, which is a crazy stat to think about. But yeah, there was a few other instances throughout the short race. But yeah, Mary Boyer on the top step. Alex Dunn, who is the first Irish driver to take the podium, joined him as P2. And Oliver Guthert was P3. Track limits was also the case with a few penalties for some of the drivers. in the feature race, it was the 100th race of the Formula 3 series. It saw Arvid Lindblad take the win over Mansell, who finished just behind in P2. And now taking the lead of the championship, Leonardo Fornaroli was rounding out the podium. So again, a really good race weekend for Formula 3. Looking to Austria, it is 21 laps for the sprint and only 26 for the feature race. It's been on the calendar since the beginning, with the current track record being held since 2020 by Sebastian Fernandez with a 119.429. On pole, it was Gregoire Sarsi last year with Pepe Marti on reverse pole. Sprint race had Paul Aaron take the top step with Gabriel Mini, P2, and Kyle Collet in P3. In the feature, it was Zach O'Sullivan winning with Gabriel Bartoletto in P2 and Kaio again in P3. All of them are either racing in F2 now or other series. I believe Kaio is racing in Indy next. I know he did last season as well. One key thing that happened as well last year was Sophia Flourish. She got disqualified and was actually meant to be her first points of the season, and she moved up like 14 places on the grid as well, which... crazy thing to talk about. And going back to speaking about Barcelona as well, Sebastian Montoya moved up about 12 places before he got into the accident with Gabriel Mini in the sprint race as well. But it was very much a track of overtaking in Barcelona, and I'm hoping we will get that for Austria as well. But again, track limits, we never know and how these drivers are going to react. Currently for the standings, Leonardo Fornaroli leads it with 84 points. Luke Browning was able to move up to P2 with 79 points after this weekend, and a non-point weekend for Gabriel Mini drops him down to third for 72 points. Now, I know you don't like doing Formula 3 because it's very much a pick and mix, but I want to hear it because you might go far, very left. Who knows? What's your predictions, Tom?
Oh, Lord, here we go. For the sprint race, I'm going to say... Dino Boganovic is going to win his first sprint race of the season. And then joining him on the sprint podium, I'm going to say we're going to see Olli Goethe and Gabriel Mini. And then in the feature race, I'm going to say... Fornaroli is going to win, and he's going to be joined by Arvid Lindblad, obviously off the back of, you know, a very, very good weekend in Barcelona. And then in third place on that podium, I'm going to say, could go a little bit left field, I'm going to say Mary Boyer. Then my bold prediction is we get... I'm going to say Nikita Bedrin in the points because he hasn't scored points since, I want to say, Imola. I think he got points in the sprints in Imola, and I don't think he's had points since then. I would have to double check exactly when he last got points, but I'm fairly certain it was the sprints in Imola he last got points.
He got sprint in Imola, but he also got points in Melbourne in the feature race as well.
Yeah. I'm saying the last time he got points was Imola. Yeah. So ball position. In one of the races, he gets a point or more.
Okay. Maybe he just takes pole and doesn't do anything with it.
Oh, God, imagine.
That's 2 points.
If he did, I would just rage quit.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, Formula 3 is very much up in the air sometimes. We've had 9 different race winners in the last 10 races. We are currently halfway through the season as well. So... it is pretty much very close in the top of the standings on who's going to take the championship. For my predictions, I think Tim Tramitz will take pole. I think for the sprint race, though, I think it will be Luke Browning will take P1. Noel Leon had actually some really good racing last weekend at Barcelona. I think he will take P2. And Martinius Stenshorn will take P3, because I would love to see a McLaren back driver on a podium, so why not? Especially following Alex Stunt, who is also McLaren back, was on the podium in Barcelona. In the feature race, I think Mini will take the win to make up some redemption from his first ever non-point round so far. I think Tim Tramitz, who was on pole, will take P2. And then let's go Lawrence Van Hoppen as P3. Again, a good kind of driver, kind of consistent sometimes. So that is my bold. I'm going to stick with this again. I'm going to say any of the top bottom drivers, I believe there's probably about 7 or 8 of them, will get points. So that is Callum Boysen, Tommy Smith, Sophia Flourish, Kieran Shields, Zach Attetta, Josh Dufek, Pranasol, Intrapusuviak. That is very bad for my list. And Piotr Winczyński as well. That one of those drivers will get a point in either of the race weekend rounds. That is my bold. Now, finally, like I said, so much to cover. F1 Academy finally returned after racing last time in Miami. Abby Pulling took both of the poles, thus making it double poles for the last two rounds. In race one, she was able to convert the pole to the win, with hometown hero of Nerea Marti taking P2 and Chloe Chambers in P3. In the feature, in the end, Pulling's streak of 4 wins came to an end, with Chloe Chambers taking her first win, taking the top lead, with Pulling finishing P2. Hamda Alkabasi finished P3. Currently in the standings, Pulling has a comfortable lead of 147 points. There is 4 rounds left still to come into play, but I mean, compared to who's in P2, which is Dorian Pan, but also joined tied is Chloe Chambers. They both have 81 points. That is a big lead for Pulling. Now, it seems like Pulling's going to win the championship, maybe. But also, given it is her second year racing in F1 Academy, and if you're not aware, there's a age limit of being under 25. You could only race for 2 years in the series, or you win the championship and you cannot race in the series again. We don't want any repeats of how it was with Jamie Chadwick in W Series a couple years back, for those that remember. So she's going to be gone next year. Like, Tom, where would you see her going? Like, Freca, which is where Marta Garcia, last year's winner, went. Indy Next, Jamie Chadwick is currently racing there. Or be able to skip F4 and go straight into F3. I mean, especially given that she has been racing in British F4. She's won a few races. She was the first woman to ever get points and win races in British F4. She's currently P6 out of 24 drivers in that standing for British F4. So where do you think she's going to end up?
Well, to be honest, I think she's getting to the point where it's almost like the world is her oyster a bit. You know, she could go... Well, almost anywhere she would want, really. She's doing well already. Like you said, she's already raced in British F4. So I could see her going into F4, or I'd like to see her going straight to something like F3. However, I wouldn't want her to jump into a series that's too much too soon, and I'd say that about pretty much any driver. Unless you're talking about, the likes of your sort of like once in a generation type drivers, you know, like your Russells or your Verstappens, that kind of thing. But she's got so many different avenues she can go down. She could continue down the single seater route, you know, sort of like, you know, the European circuit, you know, so jump into F4, F3, something like that. She could go to Indy Next, like you said, you know, alongside Jamie Chadwick, because Jamie Chadwick seems to be doing pretty well out there. She could choose to go into something like sports cars, so whether she would go into, something like GT3 cars and work her way up to LMP2 and hypercars if she wanted to. I have a suspicion, or I say suspicion, based on what we've seen in the past, I would say she's probably more likely to stay in the European circuit because it's what she already knows. You know, it's a circuit she's done. It's where most drivers like to go. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see her stick around in the European circuit. I'd like to see her stick around in the European circuit. You know, F1 Academy is, as we talked about a lot last year, is now getting the airtime it deserves alongside F3 and F2, and then all of that alongside F1 on the race weekends. So it would be a shame to see her sort of slip out of that sort of limelight into F4. But you know, on the flip side, she's got to do what she thinks is right for her, obviously. You know, personally, you know, if you said to me, where do you think she should go? I would say F3, because she's done really well in F1 Academy, and definitely does seem sort of like the natural sort of progression step, if you like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, given it's just moved over to being involved more in F1, last year Marta Garcia was given a full funded seat in FRECA, which is the Formula Regional by Alp European by Alpine. That is an F4 based kind of discipline series. We mentioned a few times there's been a lot of FRECA drivers who have now moved into F2 and F3. Kimi Antonelli, for one, winning last year, moving straight into Formula 2. Josh Dickinson as well, another one that's jumped from FRECA to Formula 2. I think given Abby's also currently racing in British F4 and is doing well, this I just double checked as well. It does not state whether the fully funded seat is only to FRECA by Prema, is the team that gets sponsored by it. It doesn't say that it's directly to FRECA. I think maybe with Abby's team, they might give her an F3 seat potentially instead of it, because I believe it is very much a kind of little bit disservice to go from F1 Academy F4 to then stay in an F4 of FRECA or Euro Formula or any of the F4 series. So I think Formula 3 is probably the best step up. She currently races for Road and Motorsport, and they have some decent drivers in Formula 3 currently. Just double checking those because there's been so many different changes. It's Callum Boysen, Peter Winziski, and Joseph Loeb. Those three drivers have not been doing very well in points. Only Joseph Loeb has points so far. So, like, these three drivers are not setting the world alight. I think she can easily come in and replace them for one of those for next season and actually race in Formula 3. And it'll be nice to have two, hopefully, female drivers, with Sophia Flourish maybe retaining her spot again for another season with Van Amersfoort. But we don't know. I mean, I believe off the top of my head, Abby could win by round six and still have a round to spare. Given how big of her lead and how the classification of the points are. So who knows? Maybe, but definitely something to keep an eye out. She's absolutely killing it. She's backed by Alpine. She has, who is the female driver that she has supporting her as a manager? She's based in W Series, British driver.
Not Jess Edgar.
No,
No.
the other one. Sarah? Oh, I'm gonna double check.
The name escapes me now. I can't think.
Let's see. W Series. What is it? This shows how great preparing for it. Did
That
very
one,
well as
yeah,
well.
that one's on you, South, because how was I supposed to know that was coming?
I know. I put you on the spot for it.
Yeah.
Alice Powell, that's who it is. Yes. She also does commentary as well sometimes with Nikki Shields in the F1 Academy commentary as well. But yes. Alice Powell, that's the one that's supporting her as well on the race season. So doing very well. And to be fair, she might Abby get a few might Abby might get a few more different series to kind of get involved with. There's still other F4 series still taking place throughout the year. British F4, I think, co's racing in 3 weeks' time at Zandvoort, which is the track that F1 Academy is also going to be racing in end of August. So good pre-additional learning of the track and circuit for her. And a few other ones. Chloe Chambers races in British F4, and a few other ones. Kerry Schneider as well. They both also race in British F4. So should be a good one. But definitely something to keep an eye out for the rest of the season, alongside your usual Formula 2, Formula and Formula 3. But yeah, so Formula Talk Season 2 is available on YouTube, where episodes are now posted. Just search Formula Talk on YouTube to keep up to date with our 2024 season. If you've been a listener to our show, you will know that we are the sister show of Grid Talk. You can find our back catalog and podcast episodes on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Bubble, and Pocket Cast. Just search Grid Talk to find all of our episodes. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And again, make sure you're subscribed and following so the first to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon with Playing More Content, where we review Austria and preview Silverstone, another iconic track of the triple header, a great race weekend to watch as well. Thank you, Tom, for joining me as always.
Oh, pleasure as always, Soph.
And thank you very much for listening to Formula Talk podcast presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.